Look at where Satan was successful in that first Christmas. We think about what the innkeepers did, and David did a great job last week on teaching about the innkeepers, and this is not innkeepers like what you and I think of. This was a place in the little town of Bethlehem. There's probably a lot of open country, and these folks would just gather in these areas, and they would gather together because thieves were there, wild animals were there, and they were gathered together, and we know that a lot of people was moving back at this time, and the Bible tells us in verse 6, and it was so that while they were there, now listen, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. They wasn't there, they just didn't show up that first morning there, Brother Mike, and have a baby. They were there for days. And they were there, and can't you just imagine as they're walking around and they're trying to find some help. And like Brother David said last week in Sunday school about how if you got a pregnant female there, somebody's going to give up. In our day today, somebody's going to give up and give up the seat and let her sit down, give up. I mean, I'll stand up while she lays down. But the Bible says there was no room found for them in the inn. In other words, they were there. They were there for days. And you got to understand something else. These were not Romans. These were Jews. And if you go back and study the law, if you go back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and David was talking about this morning how it was great hospitality in those days. And it was great hospitality in those days to put somebody in and help somebody out. That was the law. That was not just hospitality. That was the law. And nobody helped them. How'd you do this past Christmas as far as helping somebody? Think about that. Also, another place where they were successful, we know from studying the Bible in verse 3. In Luke chapter 2, and they all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. In other words, there was a lot of Joseph's family going back to Bethlehem at that time. So not only were the innkeepers not helping, his family was not helping. There was all kind of his lineage was in this place at this time. And you know, all kind of people were there that he may have even knew some of them. And nobody stepped up. Nobody had enough love in their heart. And we know what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I understand that, and I realize that. How was Satan successful at your house this year? How was Satan successful with your family this year? Let me ask you a question. And every family's got it now, so don't sit here and think you don't act like your family's all holy. Hard feelings, unforgiveness, not speaking, not talking. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, they know they hurt my feelings. And I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not even going to go. Oh, I done got on somebody's pew now. I'm not even going to go. I wonder how many times Mary and Joseph walked by family members and they looked up and said, oh, there's that pregnant girl. Don't you know the talk behind the scenes? I can't believe Joseph is still with her. How many of them? I didn't know I was going. This ain't in my notes. How many of us did a little gossiping this year when we got with our family? You see, let me ask you, was Satan successful with you? We look and see where he was successful at. We know we're supposed to have love for each other. And it's real easy for us to come in our church family. It's real easy for us to come in. I believe Miss Rachel said a while ago, said, this, you're my family. It's real easy for me to come in and just help Brother Robert's neck and shake Brother Robert's hand and love on Brother Robert and Miss Angie because I love them and they've been precious to me over the years and walk right by my brother at my mom and dad's house and not say nothing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we see in some places where Satan was successful in that first Christmas, and if we're not careful, we'll let Satan be successful this past Christmas. He was also successful in what King Herod did. We know the story where a couple of years later after Jesus was born, the wise men, the Bible says, they come from afar. They come in, and we know there were not three. There was a multitude of them. They come in bearing gifts. But what happens is, Brother Robert, they're following the star, and they go by Jerusalem to start with because maybe in their minds, they're thinking, that's where this king should be born, in a palace. They go by Jerusalem, and they come into King Herod, and they say, where's this baby that's been foretold? Where's the king going to be born? And we know that King Herod's kind of crazy and he's kind of power hungry. And King Herod says, you go find where that baby's at and come back and tell me and I'll go worship him. Well, the Bible says that the wise men being warned by an angel left a different way. And when word gets back to King Herod, King Herod goes in a rage and orders that all the babies in that region that would even be considered about that time of birth be killed. All the male babies were killed. King Herod was afraid of losing what he had. Pride. See, if we ain't careful, we big on pride. See, that's why we won't forgive, because we big on pride. I don't want to lose what I got. That's why I didn't go by that angel tree and get one of them angels off that tree this year, because I don't want to lose what I got. That's why I didn't give to the poor this year, because I don't want to lose what I got. See, that's the problem with pride. It's all about me. See, that's where King Herod was. It was all about him. He was a puppet king. He had been placed in office, but he had that little bit of power. And it's all about him. Herod was willing to kill what he could not control. And if I can't control Christmas, I'm willing to squash it. If I can't be in charge, I'm not willing to do anything. If I can't do what I want to do, it's not going to happen at my house and at my family. How many killed Christmas this year for your family? The guy, the pastor that married me and my wife, godly man, loved him. All I ever knew was Preacher Billy Baker. That's all I ever knew. One night when he was preaching, Miss Nancy, he told his story. He said, before he got saved, he said, I was a drunk. You know, that's back when we didn't have alcoholics, we had drunks. Amen. Let's just call it what it is. He said, back when I was a drunk, he said, I got drunk one night and run out of money, Kevin. He said, I went home and got all the girls' presents and sold them. And there was no Christmas at that house that year. He did the same thing Herod did. He destroyed Christmas because of his pride, and he destroyed Christmas because of what he wanted. And if we're not careful, folks, we'll let Satan do that to us. Oh, we can still give out presents, but if it's got to be just like we want it to be. If it ain't like we want it in our little area and in our little circumstance, and we got to have it just like this, we don't want it. And we'll do our very best to shut it down. I don't know why I got this on my mind, but it's like that in church sometimes. Somebody can't get their way. Well, if I can't be the lead singer in the play, I don't want to sing at all. When did it become about you? Unless I'm mistaken, it's still about Jesus. Amen. Now let me change gears a little bit. That's where Satan was successful. But let's look at a few little places before I come to a close where Satan was not successful. When he looked back on Christmas, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Satan could not stop the promise that was made in Genesis chapter 3. What made Mary different in that when all this happened? What made Mary different? What made Mary stand out? Don't you know Satan was tempting and Satan was troubling all the young girls of that area of that time? What made her different? There was something that made her stand out. And when God looked down and God said, "I'm going to use that young girl right there to bring my son into the world," what made her different? The difference was her devotion to God, her devotion to her family, her devotion, her prayer, her Bible study, her devotion. That's what made her different. What makes you different this morning? Satan couldn't stop the promise because there was somebody that was willing to stand up and say, "I'm going to do it right." And don't you know Satan done his very best to stop it? Satan knows Scripture better than you and I do. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." She was set apart. She did what she did. What makes you different this morning? Satan couldn't stop the miracle. Now listen. Luke chapter 2, verse 13 through verse 18 talks, and I've read it multiple times this week. You have too. Don't you know Satan's doing his best to stop this? And all of a sudden, the Bible says these angels show up where the shepherds are at. Let me go ahead and tell you something. Satan's got a plan, glory to God. Satan's got a plan. He's doing his very utmost best to stop you. He's doing his very utmost best to stop God. He's doing his very utmost best to interfere. But when God has a purpose, God's going to make it come to pass. It don't matter how much Satan throws. I'm telling you, Satan can throw every demon he had at these angels, and them angels were still going to make this proclamation: "Hail, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. Satan couldn't stop the miracle. Amen. But you know what Satan could do? I don't know, I just thought about this. I wonder how many others might have heard what was going on that night. How many of us, now listen, how many of us have got miracles and Satan's doing his very best to shut your voice up? God has moved. God has blessed. God has answered prayer, and we come into God's house and we don't say anything. We keep it to ourselves. The Bible says that when these shepherds left, they told everybody, Brother Robert. Wes, when they left, they were telling everybody about this newborn king. Thank God. I tell you right now, when the Lord gets a hold to you, there's going to be a change, amen? And how many tonight? I've got a testimony, and I thought about it this morning. I thought about it as I was studying. I've got a testimony, and I'll just briefly, for those that might not have heard it, I was a state trooper. March the 10th, 1987, I was shot and left on the side of the road. But thank God, God showed up. Hey, I'm still here. I'm still preaching. God's still moving, and look what God's doing in our lives. You've got a testimony this morning. You've got a miracle. Don't let Satan hide your miracle. Satan couldn't stop the miracle. And lastly, I want you to think about this. Satan failed to stop the witnessing and the worship. The Bible says when these shepherds left, they told everybody. They told everybody. And I don't know how in the world it is every Sunday morning, it seems like David gets on something in my message. He was talking about being a witness this morning. He was talking about going out and inviting people this morning. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the last time you told them about Jesus? Satan could not stop. Don't you know if Satan could have shut them up, he'd have shut them up. But you got to understand something. When God moves in your life, and just like he did has in my life, and God blessed me. When I got shot, God was there. When I got shootout the next year, God was there. And God was there when I got into car wrecks. God was there. And when the Lord does something for you like that, you want to tell everybody. How many God's answered prayers for you? Lift your hands up as a testimony. How many God's been there for you? Lift your hand up as a testimony. He's answered prayers. Miss Rachel told me he's already answered prayers for her. He's answered prayers for all of us. Just about everybody in this building at some point in time has come and got anointed with oil. And guess what? You're still sitting in the building, glory to God. Hey, it did not come to pass what the devil throwed at you, and God's still on the throne. He couldn't stop the witnessing, but he couldn't stop the worship either. Think about that now. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, he's talking about the wise men, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Satan hates worship. You know why Satan hates worship? Because he wants you to worship him. And when we come in and we lift our hands up and we worship and we honor and we glorify God, Satan hates that. How good's God been to you? How good's God been to you? If we ain't careful, we come into God's house. We don't hear a holy grunt. We don't raise our hands. We don't worship. We don't praise him. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is the quietest world you're going to ever live in. Amen. When we get to heaven, it's going to be on. Some of y'all going to be embarrassed. Because when we get to heaven, it's going to be on. And if you go to hell, they're going to be crying and wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you let Satan steal your worship? Have you let Satan steal your witness? God's been too good to us. Way too good to us for us to just come in and be quiet and for us not to tell everybody we know about him. You know what my goal for this church is this coming year? And God's been blessing. My goodness, God's been blessing. I mean, I love it when people walk in those back doors and they have to stop and look for a place to sit down.
Come on.
My goal for this church, and I can't do it by myself. My goal for this church by this time next year to be doubled in its size. Not necessarily because of numbers, but because of winning people to Jesus. So, the challenge is for Deborah to win one person to the Lord and bring him to church this year. That ought not be too hard. For Kevin to win one person. And when we come in this time next year to preach, when Satan looked back at 2025 and what he lost at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, I want you to bow your head. I want you to bow your heads. Brother Robert, y'all come get us a song. Nobody looking around. Everybody, every head bowed. Let's get honest this morning.